All right, let him have it.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Like the fellow once said, ain't that a kick in the head? Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-sized bed. I couldn't feel any better or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, oh, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
And next week will be not Brotherhood Week, but Anti-White Week.
Watch the sunrise on a tropical island. See the pyramids along the Nile. Just remember, darling, all the while, you belong to me. See the marketplace in old Algiers. Send me photographs and souvenirs. Just remember, when a dream appears, you belong to me. So long without you. Maybe you'll be lonesome too and blue. Fly the ocean in a plane. See the jungle when it's wet with rain. Just remember, till you're home again, you belong to me. Thank you. in a silver plane. See the jungle when it's wet with rain. Just remember till you're home again. You belong to me.
Dean, there's a saying that you can't have a hit record unless you're a teenager. And yet sitting right across from me is a fellow who was, well, shall we say, slightly out of his teens when he had his first smash record and all the others that followed. How do you account for it?
Well, I don't know, except I figured out that the reason I had a first smash record was because I think there are more old drunks than there are teenagers.
You know, you sort of kind of have me stymied there, but you don't sound like an old drunk on those records. No. You sound just very relaxed.
And it was a surprise to me that this became a hit. And it wasn't my fault, because I think I'm singing the same way. It's just that this Jimmy Bowen, who I
put
have...
that beat.
He put the beat and the choir and, I don't know, sort of a... It's a new rhythm. I don't know what it is.
It's still typically Dean Martin, and yet it has the acceptable beat that the kids go out and buy.
I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my lovin' in the evening time when I'm with my baby. It's no fun with the sun around, but I get going when the sun goes down and I meet my baby. That's when we kiss and kiss and kiss, and then we kiss some more. Don't ask how many times we kiss at a time like this. Who keeps score? So I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my loving in the evening time when I'm with my baby. When we kiss and kiss and kiss, and then we kiss some more. Don't ask how many times we kiss at a time like this. Who keeps score? So I don't care if the sun don't shine. I'll give my lovin' in the evening time when I'm with my baby.
I get my loving in the evening time when I'm with my baby. Well, it ain't no fun with the sun around. I get going when the sun goes down and I'm with my baby. Well, that's when we're gonna kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss, and we're gonna kiss some more. Well, who cares how many times we kiss? Cause at a time like this, who keeps score? Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my loving in the evening time when I meet my baby. And the kids and the kids and the kids, and we're gonna kiss some more. Who cares how many times we kiss? Cause there's a time like this. Who keeps score? Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I keep my loving in the evening time when I meet my baby. And it don't matter if the sleet is snow. A drive in's cozy when the lights are low. And I'm with my baby. Makes no difference if the rain comes down. I don't notice when she's around, oh boy. What a baby. Well, that's when we're gonna kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss and we're gonna kiss some more. Well, one kiss from a baby doll makes me hot more. Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my loving in the evening time when I meet my hot baby. We're gonna kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss and we're gonna kiss some more. Well, one kiss from my baby doll makes me holler more. Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my loving in the evening time when I'm with my baby.
And meanwhile, back in the States.
All right, this is the Hound, WFMU East Orange, and there it is, the Elvis-Dino connection. What we just heard was Elvis, I Don't Care If the Sun Don't Shine, which is from his days at Sun Records. And we heard Dino's original version, I Don't Care If the Sun Don't Shine. And then counting backwards, we heard Dino doing You Belong to Me, Ain't That a Kick in the Head, and You're Nobody Till Somebody Loves You. And then Dean explaining the secret of his sound, which is quite an experience right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nick, I'm sold.
Well, good.
Dino invented rock and roll.
I see no other explanation for the whole thing. I mean, I see Elvis as initially the man who would be Dino.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah. Or Johnny Ray.
Except Elvis, when he was in, say, the same state that Dino was in a few years ago, which is basically forgotten and washed up, made the great career move of croaking.
Yeah, it helps.
True.
It sure does. The best career move possible.
Business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
There was that quote from Felton Jarvis when Elvis died. Somebody said to Felton, geez, isn't it terrible? And he said, no, it's just like when he was in the Army.
Well, he also had the cheeseburger thing.
But Dino's still alive.
Yeah, he is. God bless him.
Technically, he is.
God bless him. 75 and still kicking.
And you haven't met him yet, right?
No, I'm looking forward to that experience.
So this is coming up?
About 10 days.
Audience with the Pope.
An audience with the Pope. Pope on Dean.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So in your course of researching this book on Dean Martin...
Can we call it a tome?
A tome?
Yeah.
Okay, on this tome.
What do you want to call it?
Tome.
Not only did you make up amazing words like gynecopia...
Hey, that's mine.
No, he...
But for a change, I made up no facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Are you sure about that?
Big switch.
A lot of the sources in the back here and a lot of the chapters here center around organized crime and the folks in organized crime. So
yes.
Some lovable characters like Sam Giancana and Johnny Rosselli and Mickey Cohn. He even gets a picture of Mickey Cohn in here. And
isn't that a great picture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And an interesting fact, Vito Genovese owned the Club 82, a famous drag club, and... kind of allude. I mean, can we talk about this?
I don't see why not.
I don't know. Maybe they have relatives still alive.
Well, there are, as a matter of fact.
Should we drop the subject? I don't know.
Let's just all dress up.
Okay,
in
Vito
clothes.
Genovese. What was his deal? He was married to a lesbian whose husband he had murdered, right?
Well, you know, get him on the phone
nothing can stand in the way of love, right?
I don't know.
The love that transcendeth all knowing.
Did Dino have to put out for Vito Genovese?
Give me a break, will you? Give me a break.
I just hear these Hollywood stories about
He's
these folks, you know.
Dying to ask
you're
that.
Still trying to get over that Milton Berle Louis Prima one, you know.
No, the Louis Prima story in the Last Mafiosa, which I believe you pointed out in one of your books. I mean, that was pretty shocking. You figure if not Louis.
If Louis could go that way, the world could go that way.
That's true.
That's correct.
A man like Louis, somebody that hears the call of the wildest.
Oh boy. So okay, that makes me feel much better now. Folks, those complaint letters go to The Hound, WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange, 07019.
Don't you need some new complaint letters?
Okay, now there's another thing in here. The Chop Suey Connection.
Oh, the Chop Suey Connection,
What
of course.
Is the Chop Suey Connection?
Well, we hear a lot when people talk about American music, about you know, its roots in Afro-American culture.
Mm-hmm.
But I discovered that the Chinese restaurants of Cleveland... were a great breeding ground for the sweet dance music of the 40s.
Not to mention Tomaine.
That's true.
And cat meat.
Wow. So So this is something that, this is like a whole field of research that has yet to barely scratched on, except for what the little that's been in your book about it.
It's true, and the Ling and Ting connection.
The Ming and Ling, right.
Ming and Ling, excuse me.
I bet Ming and Ling and Dino cross paths somewhere along the line.
It stands to
reason.
I'd
be surprised if that weren't the case.
Okay, why did Lucky Luciano call Lou Costello a no good pea?
Oh,
in your book, he mentioned that Lucky Luciano called Lou Costello a no good.
Why?
Yeah.
I would imagine because he didn't like him.
Yeah, I mean, what was going on there?
Lucky Luciano has been in heaven for a long time, and so is the great Lou of Patterson, to whom they just erected a statue in that fair city, I understand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the P was for, Patterson.
So I really don't know. That is a reliable quote, though.
Mm-hmm. But Lou Costello had Dino under contract at one time.
Along with many other people. Mm-hmm. Apparently it was not a difficult thing to arrange.
Uh-huh, especially if your name was Costello. Although I guess Frank Costello probably had a few under contract too, right?
Yeah, different kind of negotiations, though.
The man who was the true owner of the Copacabana.
Uh-huh. Now getting these underworld connections here, you get into a little bit of, and you don't seem to take a very high opinion of JFK and RFK, and they get sort of...
No.
They come into the shuffle.
I think... I have no esteem at all for either of them.
Why? Now, why? And where do they come into Dino's story?
They just struck me as basically stylized walking commercials for mediocrity. Some parents buy their children toys. Their wealthy father bought them office. I don't know. I don't know what this whole big deal is about JFK. I mean, you know.
Well, the career move.
The career move, right.
And in a
right.
public, you know, a public place like that.
Right.
It is a good career move.
He's been up in every Irish grandmother's kitchen ever since.
So who do you,
I know.
Who do you,
you're right.
So who do you think shot him?
Who do I think shot him?
Yeah. Vaughn Meter.
He killed himself.
That's a good question. You know, I've heard so many different theories. I was talking to Homer Henderson recently about this. Homer, as you know, recorded that great song, Lee Harvey Was a Friend of Mine. Is now back in the studio, I understand, with his next single, Honky Tonk Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Wow.
Who do you think shot Kennedy? Why do you ask me these? Who do you think shot Kennedy? I didn't write a book about Kennedy.
Well, I think shot him at.
I wrote a book about a person that did not think much of Kennedy, who saw right through him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine he was shot by somebody in the military-industrial complex by some orders. Probably, I was told by...
You're talking to Oliver Stone, right?
Yeah. Maybe Oliver Stone shot him.
Yeah, to get a movie deal. I don't know. Obviously, we'll never find out. It's kind of sad. Let's get on with some interesting folks.
We'll cross that one off the clipboard.
Where is the clipboard?
Tom does his Tom Snyder with the clipboard.
Yeah.
So I hear you're right.
Okay, we got through. Who killed String Bean? No, we've already went through that. That was a few books ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what we have here is, musically speaking, is the genealogy of a hit, Dino's biggest hit,
written or co-written by his longtime piano player Ken Lane,
mm-hmm.
who had worked earlier with Sinatra. It seemed that Dean brought Nelson Riddle to Sinatra and took Ken Lane from Sinatra. Sinatra, as far as I know, published the song and was the first one to record it in 1948.
Okay, we're going to hear the Sinatra version, then we're going to hear the first version that Dino cut in March of 64 on the Dream with Dean LP, and then we're going to hear the hit, 1964, to knock the Beatles off the charts.
And many years later, the Beatles finally got the message and came back with All You Need Is Love. Behind the times.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear the genealogy of Dean's greatest hits. And then we'll come back and do a little more of the Sinatra connection and talk about Jerry Lewis. WFMU, East Orange. This is The Hound. We're here with Nick Toshes, the author of Dino, Living High in the Dirty Business of Dream.
Published by Doubleday.
And Company.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying, my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I found in your arms. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you. Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying, my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I've found in your arms. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charms. Then every minute, every hour. Every boy would find what I found in your arms. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for. Someone like you.
Hey, but I'm gonna let you slide this time, yeah? You're greasy enough.
Back into jungle.
Yeah, and kind of a nice change of pace in that horrible race music we used to usually play on, Bruce.
It's not meanwhile back in the jungle, it's meanwhile back in the jungle room.
Yeah. That was it. The analogy of a hit. That was the hit version
of
everybody needs
the analogy of a hit. You heard it here first.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
You know what I mean. I don't even know what I mean. That was
the hit version here, you know?
Before that, we heard the version of Everybody Loves Somebody.
It's kind of Barney Kesseloid thing going on.
From the Dream with Dean album, which predates the hit version by about a month. And then the Frank Sinatra original from 1948.
Predates it by a whole lot of months.
Well, Nick?
16 years worth.
Did your homework on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did. I always do my homework.
Okay, getting back into this. Now, Sinatra shows up in this book quite a bit. The public has a real impression of Dean and Frank as two close buddies, guys really in the know, you know, hang out with all the right people and know some people that it's good to know and are respected. But you have sort of a different take on Sinatra than you do on Dean. And you want to go into that a little bit?
Well, they started hanging out together in the early 50s when Sinatra was washed up and came to Capitol Records. Nobody else would have him. And Sinatra sort of idolized Dean because he seemed to represent everything that Frank had always pretended to be.
Tall, suave.
Whatever. Sinatra was always going around crying or killing himself over some broad, you know.
Yeah, he's
and, you know, and he was like this mama's boy who used to have gorillas do his dirty work, and Dean never needed any of that. I would say, you know, he was probably Dean's prime male groupie.
Mm-hmm. And so they go through a lot of this together, you know, to hang it. They sort of become known as the Rat Pack, along with Sammy Davis and
collection Peter Lawford.
Yeah, what
Peter
a crew, Lawford, you know, and, like, and for some reason, people want to remember this group. You know,
Shirley MacLaine. Like, now, where does she fit in to the Rat Pack?
One of the guys. You know, one of the guys. You know, I mean.
And Shirley MacLaine.
Well, her brother wouldn't take his curlers out of his hair long enough to join up, you know. So.
No.
But,
and they make a bunch of movies
they
together.
Got enough frauds anyway.
They made, yeah, Ocean's 11 was a big Rat Pack movie. Uh-huh. And then there was like a Rat Pack album, which was Sinatra conducts, Dean sings.
Yeah, and the thing that Hound and I discuss more often than not in your daily happy hour, the Rat Pack Western. What did we decide it was called?
Sergeant's Three.
Yeah.
Actually, Nick came up with that little piece of trivia.
That's true.
So, you know, Dean gets into the movies, first with Jerry Lewis and then on his own in these Rat Pack movies. He works with Phil Carlson, one of the all-time great directors, the guy with the Phoenix City Story.
Yeah, like Elvis, all of Dean's stuff was with the best directors. Frank Tashlin, those
guys.
Well,
I think it's interesting that when Martin Lewis ended, mm-hmm. Elvis began in terms of movies.
With the same directors.
Same writers, too. Mm-hmm.
Same production.
There was a
company.
Scene taken from the caddy that was used in an Elvis movie. Both Dean and Elvis had shared one of the leading ladies.
Mm-hmm. Shared in what way?
Well, don't get analogous on me here. I'm talking about on screen. You
know? Oh, okay. Okay.
That word again.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a little of the Dean Sinatra connection here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to do kind of a battle of the bands. Mm-hmm. Dino versus Sinatra. Let the listeners choose which one they think is truly the cool guy.
Dino versus Francis Albert.
In the greaseball category. And then we'll come back and we'll get to what everybody really wants us to talk about. Jerry Lewis.
Go ahead.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore. That's amore.
Bells will ring.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling.
And you sing Vita Bella.
Vita Bella, Vita Bella. Hearts will play.
Tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay. Like a gay tarantella.
Danz'amore.
Danz'amore.
When you dance down the street to the cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Amore, that's amore.
My feet were killing me. My dogs were barking. I must have fallen asleep where I was parking. And then I dreamed two dogs were talking. Take my word. It was the doggonest thing you ever heard. She said,
Mama will bark.
You look so lovely in the moonlight.
Yes, but Papa will bark.
Your eyes are shining like the starlight.
Yes, but Mama will bark.
Your lips are so inviting, darling. Give me one more kiss.
Ooh! Mama will fang.
The night is young and you are here so near.
But Papa will fang.
Please let me whisper in your ear, my dear.
But Mama will fang.
This is the moment I have dreamed of, darling. Oh, what a bliss. I think that I shall never see a tree as lovely as thee.
Hot dog, what?
Take me right home.
I wish the night would never end.
I know, but Papa will bang.
I'd like to be more than a friend.
I know, but Mama will bark.
You know I'm crazy about you, honey. Give me one more kiss. Give me a kiss.
I really have to go. Mama will worry.
Give me a kiss.
It's getting late. I really have to hurry. Well, just a teensy-weensy little one, and then good night.
Give me your paw.
Something inside me says I really shouldn't.
Let me hold your paw.
If it was anybody else, I wouldn't.
Give me your paw.
The way you make me stay out late with you, it just ain't right.
I swear that I shall never see a canine lovely as thee.
Take me right home.
I wish the night would never end.
I know, but Papa will bang.
I'd like to be more than a friend.
I know, but Mama will bark.
You know I'm crazy about you, honey. Give me one more kiss.
Say, so you're the air dealer for keeping me thought off late every night, huh? Well, take that. Take that. Take that. Hot dog, woof.
This is my happening, and it freaks me out.
Oh, it's...
trusted you, thought you'd be true. My love was so strong that I went along, never dreaming you'd do me so wrong. Love is a game, and I play on the square. But you're the kind who can never play fair. I may forgive,
baby,
but sure as you live, someday you're gonna be sorry for you cheated on me.
Don't try to lie, I know all that you've done. Each butterfly has to pay for her fun.
I may forgive, but sure
as you live,
someday you're gonna be sorry you cheated on me, hot little kitten. You're gonna be sorry, sorry you cheated on me.
Cheating baby, you cheated on me.
Girl, this motherfucker's got rhythm, man.
Take a mip-map-mop and a brim-bram-broom and clim-clam clean up the rim-ram-room, cause your bim-bam baby's coming home tonight. Get my slim-slam slippers and my easy chair, run your flim-flam fingers through my greasy hair, then kiss me, baby, let me hold you tight. Been north and south and east and west, but even a honeybee needs some rest. When I get my jacket and my trousers pressed, I follow the swallow right back to my nest. Don't you whim-wham worry if my train is late, gonna shim-sham shuttle on a brim-fram freight, cause your bim-bam baby is coming home tonight. And a brim-bram-broom, clim-clam clean up the rim-ram room, cause your bim-bam baby's getting back tonight. Get my slim-slam slippers and my easy chair, run your greasy fingers through my greasy hair, kiss me, baby, let me hold you tight. I've been north and south and east and west, but even a honeybee needs some rest. When I get my jacket and my pants all pressed, I follow the swallow right back to my nest. Don't you whim-wham worry if my choo-choo's late, gonna shim-sham shuttle on a frim-fram freight, cause your bim-bam baby's coming home tonight. Cause your bim-bam baby's coming home tonight. Open that door, baby, cause here I come.
And meanwhile, back in the States.
WFMU, East Orange.
Why do I keep thinking of Joe Pepitone?
Oh, it's the Greaseball Connection. Mm-hmm. And there, yeah. And speaking of the Greaseball Connection, that's Sinatra doing Bim Bam Baby. That goes out to Dave the Spaz. First time I ever heard that song was on his show.
William B. Williams always said, that's the thing with Sinatra, the phrasing.
You're right. And then we heard Dino doing Cheating on Me. That's kind of a rock and roll, a blues kind of a thing from
1957.
Dino. 57. He does it well.
Cashing in on that rock and roll craze.
Heard Sinatra's very last Columbia single, Mama Will Bark, courtesy of Bob Quine, who actually bought it.
He bought that?
Yeah, when it came out. And we opened up with Dina, That's Amore, one of his greatest hits. And so, you know, Sinatra, what's with him? What's his problem? He's a sour old man, isn't he?
It's a shortcut from Jersey thing, you know.
I think the lesson we can learn from Sinatra is that all the wealth, fame, and power in the world can't save you from a hair weave.
No. And Sinatra, he starts getting politically ambitions in the early 60s, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was going to be part of the new royalty.
Mm-hmm.
He actually believed that there would be a place for greaseballs in Kennedy's garden. He bought that line from Kennedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it serves him right. Anybody would want to, you know, be a part of that.
The age-old ethnic struggle.
And meanwhile,
Irish and Italian.
What Dino really strives for is a better golf course, the next round of drinks and some perk
at
the end,
right? In the book, we have Dino's The Secret of Happiness in there.
Right. A BJ, some Percodans, a cocktail. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the things it's all made of. Right. So how does Dino get into Perkadans?
How does anyone get into anything? They're there. Dino get into Perkadans?
Apparently, just an odd choice of drugs.
Apparently, his Man Friday valet, whatever you want to call him, Killer Gray, whom he inherited from George Raft.
Mm.
The quote from Sammy Kahn was that Killer Gray took Percodan like Tic Tac. He was always popping them into his mouth. And that's apparently how Dean got started on him.
Puts an interesting spin on the world, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and then Jerry Lewis.
Percodan and Scotch. It's a good combination.
Yeah, I'll bet. Now, Jerry Lewis was also into Percodan, so that wasn't...
Independently, though. It was just one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Now, you told me that you thought Jerry was a little scary during the course of your interviews.
I would say that an impression of Jerry in person overshadows anything you can get from secondhand through television or movies or interviews. He goes through at least 7 distinct personalities within an hour.
Mm-hmm. And they're all you'd say basically real personalities of Jerry's.
Yeah, and but I have to say the guy was profoundly truthful. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like
some,
that.
Some of the stories in the book
he's capable of seeing the truth in things.
And he seemed very candid, especially in speaking in the book, some of the quotes about their mob connections and things that happened and things they had to deal with.
There was a gold mine of truth there. I'd say that the information I got from Jerry Lewis and the information I got from Dean's ex-wife were two of the most important sources in the book.
Mm-hmm. And what other big star of that nature would actually bother to even talk about things like that, Jerry, like that Jerry did? It's kind of a rare thing in itself
that
anybody will actually tell the truth. It's rare that any writer would actually ask him to tell the truth.
Well, most celebrities and stars I found, even with this book, movie stars, they speak as if they're quoting from some internal script of what they think they should present to the public. I mean, if there's anything even there to begin with, in Jerry's case, there mm-hmm. was.
Mm-hmm. Now, what we're going to hear right now, this is sort of a candid piece of Jerry memorabilia. What it is some important Washington politico is calling Jerry on the phone, trying to get him to. And you'll hear what's going on. And this is Jerry recorded it, I guess, for his own good, and somehow the tape got into the hound's hands. And we're gonna hear this one. Check it out. This is a phone conversation.
One of Jerry's personalities.
Yeah. Jerry Lewis?
No, this is not Lewis, the secretary.
Well, this is Bill Lynch from the MS in Washington.
MS.
We've got a very important person. It was most influential in MS in Washington. Her name is Ellen Taylor. And she was with Jerry on this WTTG in Washington. She's coming over to the show tonight.
Yes.
I would appreciate it very much if Jerry would recognize her because she's done so much for us in Washington. I'm calling you from Washington right now.
Oh, you're in Washington?
Yes. But she's in Las Vegas. She's coming over to your show tonight, and I would appreciate it very much if Jerry would recognize her.
You sound like you're in Las Vegas with all that noise, but...
Well, no, but, hell, I'm over at the Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C.
I see. All right, give me your name.
Bill Lynch.
That's her name?
No. Her name is Evelyn Taylor. She's with the
Maryland.
International Pilots Association in Washington. She's done a tremendous job for MS in Washington.
For MS.
MS, yeah. Muscular dystrophy. Which Jerry, I know Jerry is most, I know he's hipped on it, and so am I.
And her name is Marilyn Taylor?
Huh?
Marilyn Taylor?
Taylor, yes, that is right.
Marilyn?
Yeah.
Marilyn Taylor.
Marilyn Taylor. Evelyn Taylor. Didn't say Marilyn. Evelyn Taylor.
Hello.
Yes.
What is her first name?
Evelyn Taylor. Evelyn.
Evelyn Taylor is her first name.
Yes. Evelyn Taylor.
What's her last name?
Taylor is her last name.
Oh, well, I said, what's her first name? You said Evelyn Taylor.
Evelyn is her first name, and Taylor is her last name.
I see, and she's a pilot?
She works for the International Pilots Association in Washington, D.C. But Jerry will remember her. She was on this program
I thought you said she was a pilot.
Beg your pardon?
I thought you said she was a pilot.
She is with the Pilots Association in Washington, D.C.
Right. Marilyn Taylor.
Yeah.
Marilyn?
Evelyn Taylor. Evelyn Taylor. T-A-Y-L-O-R is her last name.
T-A-Y-L-O-R.
A-Y.
Y.
L-O-R.
L.
O. R.
R.
R. And the first name is Evelyn.
Marilyn.
That's no, Evelyn.
What is it?
Evelyn. E-V-E-L-Y-N. Evelyn.
E-L.
No, E-V.
I beg your pardon?
E-V. V-V, like Victor.
Oh, Victor Taylor?
Yeah, E-V-L-Y-N.
Oh, Victor Taylor.
Right, okay. Tell Jerry she's done more in D.C.
Her first name is Victor?
No, her name is Evelyn Taylor. Got it? Evelyn.
T.
A-Y-L-O-R is her last name.
Taylor is her last name.
Right.
First name is
E-V-E-L-Y-N. Evelyn.
Marilyn Taylor, right.
Evelyn.
I beg your pardon?
Evelyn Taylor. Tell Jerry she's done so much
for
the muscular dystrophy in Washington, D.C. Just recognize her. That's all I wanted to do.
And she'll be coming to the show tomorrow?
Tonight. She's going to go to the late show tonight. She'll be in the audience tonight. If Jerry would only recognize her, it would please me so much.
And what is her name?
Evelyn Taylor.
Evelyn?
Taylor.
T-A-Y-L-O-R. Taylor.
Yeah.
And she'll be with Victor Marilyn?
No, she's going to be with somebody else, but just have Jerry recognize her as Evelyn Taylor. She'll stand up, and it would be most appreciated if Jerry would come down in the audience and kiss her, because she has done more for MS in Washington than
MS.
Anybody. Yeah.
Right. Hello. Hello.
Right.
Yes, and she works for MS.
Yes.
Right.
Tell Jerry to please do that, will you?
And what about Victor Marilyn? You want...
No, forget him.
Forget him.
Forget him, just her.
Oh, I see.
She's the one I want you to recognize.
And they'll be in tomorrow night?
No, tonight. The last show tonight. Okay, hello.
Hello.
The last show tonight.
And your name, sir?
My name's Bill Lynch. Jerry and I are old friends of long standing.
Oh,
way back.
Mr. Lewis knows.
We go back up to New Jersey.
I see. And your name is Bill
Lynch? Bill Lynch. Tell Jerry to recognize her tonight.
Is that Lick? Bill Lick?
Lynch. L-Y-N-C-H.
L.
Y.
Y.
N. C-H.
N.
C-H.
Well, so there was one of Jerry's personalities. Did you meet that Jerry?
I think that was briefly. No, it goes to show you. I mean, the other guy's probably on the cabinet now or something, right?
Yeah, really.
Or will be soon.
Yeah. Well, you don't get paid for being smart in politics.
What do you get paid for?
For being persistent.
Also,
well,
the rest
there
he was. BJ, a bottle of scotch and $1 million.
Yeah.
Right?
now right. We've got some more Candid Jerry, and this has Dino on it, and it's
one of their finer collaborations
this
together.
The disarming thing is there's probably more Candid Jerry than there is Candid anyone else around.
True.
Well, this is Dean and Jerry caught at a tender moment attempting to do a radio spot for the Caddy, and you felt compelled to quote this in its entirety in your book.
I found it to be a very interesting exchange.
Illuminating.
At least as funny as the act they were known for.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear this, and then we could, we'll discuss it. And thanks to Brian Redman for making it airable. Oh!
Hi, this is Dean Martin. And Gary Lewis. We'd like to tell you all about our latest and funniest picture for Paramount.
Of course, you mean the Caddy.
You love Jerry and me in the Caddy.
Take my word for it. The Caddy is the most hilarious picture we've ever made. Come on and join the fun. See Paramount's the Caddy.
Yeah, the Caddy. That all right, you sucker?
How was that, you
without reading it?
I'm with you.
Okay.
Next, you still rolling?
Still rolling?
All right, start.
You can cut that bit out.
I will.
Okay. This is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis asking me to see our newest and funniest picture to date.
Of course, you mean the caddy.
You bet I do.
Crazy, man, crazy.
No doubt about it, Dean. This is the funniest picture we've ever made. No kidding, folks. We're sensational. Take my word for it. Come on and join the fun. See Paramount's the caddy. It'll make you
cut out, make. This is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis with him, leave him, Dave, and tell you.
This is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis with a reminder to see our newest and funniest motion picture ever, The Caddy.
Oh, he's right, folks. Come on and join the fun in the most righteous 90 minutes of howl.
Righteous? Where the f*** you see righteous? It's riotous, you greaseball.
This is religious Martin and Jerry Lewis. Well, there's this. 5 f***ing lines, we can't get through it. Come on, 15. This is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis with a reminder to see our newest and funniest motion picture ever, The Caddy.
Oh, he's right, folks. Come on and join the fun in the most wonderful 90 minutes of howls and gags you ever saw.
We'll be seeing you in Paramount's The Caddy.
Yep, The Caddy.
With a big f*** on it.
Well, there you go.
Direct from Wax Cylinder, huh?
Yeah. Direct. And that was sort of an inside look at Dean and Jerry. And
you're making a commercial for the film that became known for the hit single "That's Amore," The Caddy.
Mm-hmm.
That was recorded in New York. It was bootlegged as a 78 in the early 50s.
Really?
Yeah. $5 a pop.
Wow.
Jeez.
So these guys, I mean, they basically sound like they're having a great time.
Well, I think they were up to a point until they started tearing each other's liver out somehow.
Yeah. Now, where did things go wrong between Dino and Jerry?
Where did they go wrong? How do I begin? I think from the very beginning, Jerry attracted more attention in the films, and it got to the point where Dean was relegated to sing a couple of dumb ballads.
Sort of like a Zeppo Marx.
Yeah. And though it was a matter of literally millions of dollars to both of them, Dean couldn't take it anymore. And that was it. They started out loving each other and ended up hating each other.
Mm-hmm. So, now Capitol attempts to record Dean and Jerry together.
Initially. When they were signed to Capitol as an act, just as they were signed to Paramount Pictures as an act. And for very good reasons, which I suspect and fear we're about to hear.
right.
This recording, as a recording act, they didn't quite make it.
And this is where it gets ugly, folks. We're going to hear.
If you think the Sinatra record was bad, there's a good time to go and check the plumbing.
Yeah.
Has she got naughty eyes? Yes, she has got naughty eyes. That certain party. You know the one I mean. Sure, you know the one I mean. That certain party of mine. Naughty eyes, turnip nose, rosy cheeks and pretty clothes. Not a smarty. Has she got loving ways? Sure, she has got loving ways. That certain party of mine.
Hey, Dean, remember the old time vaudeville around 1924?
Well, I sure do.
With those corny jokes like, can you stand on your head?
No, it's too high.
Nothing. We better sing.
Has she got you know what? Yes, she has got you know what. That certain party. Has she got, I forgot. Yes, she has got, I forgot. That certain party of mine.
You know what, I forgot.
this and that and quite a lot.
Not a smarty.
Oh, no.
Has she got everything? Yes, she has got everything. That certain party of mine.
Hold up, hold up. What are you doing? Singing in shorthand? You're speeding. That's better.
Can she make me no slipper? Yes, she can make me no slipper.
That's certain party.
Can she make hoss and pfeffer? Yes, she can make hoss and pfeffer.
That's certain party of mine. You know what? I forgot this and that and quite a lot. What a smarty.
Has she got everything?
Yes, she has got everything. That certain party.
That certain party.
That certain party of mine.
Well, there you go. That's,
pizza.
Ah, Miss Sally, pizza.
Wow.
So that's Jerry and Dean with a capital recording.
Ooh, well,
that's certain party. Now, basically, that wasn't nearly as funny as the other stuff we heard Jerry do, but at some point, he starts taking himself real seriously, right, and thinking he's actually...
Who, the Jerry?
Yeah, a genius, and believing what the French write about him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's up with that now? What do you think?
About the French connection?
Well, whatever. I mean, the Jerry connection and just Jerry himself as a guy.
Jerry as a guy.
As a guy who takes himself as a serious artist.
Well, don't most of these, most artists, so-called artists, do.
Yeah, but most so-called artists aren't quite as retarded as Jerry Lewis's persona. Although a lot of them aren't as talented, I'm sure, and Jerry definitely did his share of great things. What I'm saying is it's hard to take him seriously. Well, he takes himself very seriously, which makes it even harder.
Well, the French as a race don't have much going for them, really.
True.
I mean,
it's hard to eat some of their food, too.
Who or what have the French given the world?
Brigitte Bardot. Never been in a good movie, but she's good in photographs.
What?
The French. I don't know. What have the French given the world? A hundred
small
years of
small portions and high prices. I mean, you know. Yeah. Pretensions beyond conception.
Well, I think
lots of bread.
I think my favorite thing you ever said about the French, Nick, and I've repeated it often, is there's never been a good French movie. Name one.
Maybe Bruce.
I agree with that. Yeah. Now, a lot of people will talk
like
about Godard and you know, Rules of the Game and movies like that. Which I can't stand any of those movies.
You know which one I like? I like 400 Blows.
Well, there
you
go.
Kind of watered down Rebel Without a Cause.
But. Oh, boy. So, meanwhile, while Jerry's taking himself seriously as an artist, Dean is getting into country music. Before Bob Dylan, before the Byrds. This is all pointed out in your very first book, actually.
Before the Eagles.
Before the Eagles, before Graham Parsons, before Mike Nesmith.
Before Nashville Skyline, anyway.
Yeah. Dino decides he's going to get into his roots, fire the trumpet players, and get a steel player.
Well, it was time to put that drawl to use, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, he did two albums for Reprise. One was Tex Martin, and Tex Martin Rides Again.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the times Hank Williams' songs have been abused and bedraggled, Dean's renditions are among the most interesting. And it was also interesting, again, a lot of the sort of contrapolitan songs that Elvis did, it seems that Dean did them first.
Right.
So he was still listening to Dean throughout the years.
You think he was... Well, these songs were very big hits to begin with, but... Okay, you have a list here in the Dino Elvis. Gentle on My Mind. Dino records that in June of 68. Elvis, January 69. By the time I get to Phoenix, Dino records it in June of 68. Elvis does it as a concert song in the 70s. For the Good Times, Dino records it in September of 1970, Elvis in March of 72.
Right, it seems as Dean descends into the depths of bathos and schmaltz, Elvis follows his every step.
Mm-hmm. Into bathos and schmaltz. Now, what's the Italian guy country music connection to begin with? I mean, Louis Prima even recorded Hank Williams songs. In fact, we'll Well, listen, after we hear Dino sing Hank Williams, we'll hear Louis Prima doing a... what's that whole thing about? Because these guys were all brought up in cities, and they were...
Well, southern Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's that about. I mean, the only Italian country singer I can think of is Eduardo Baeto from Chicago.
Who's he?
He did a terrific version of I Walk the Line, which comes out on my Walk of the Line. It's true. It's on Illini Records.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention Webb Pierce's Immortal Little Rosa.
Oh, boy. Have you heard that one?
Sounds favorites.
We're eating, folks, so, you know.
It's great pizza.
Jump in anytime you want to at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys eat too, okay?
No, we got a vibe report that's going to come in a minute, and then we'll get to this country connection. But in the meantime, do we have things we have to announce or plug? Well, let's plug the book. Go buy this book. It'll keep you out of the bars for a week.
And it's great, too, because if you like to drink and drink.
Speaking of bars, if you feel like drinking, go down and see my brother Rick, who's behind the stick today in beautiful downtown Newark at Nick's Bar, corner of Halsey and New. Mm-hmm. But it is more important, I think, to spend one's money on literature.
I agree. And in the drinking reading connection thing, the cover on Dino is virtually spill-proof, as I discovered the first weekend that I
had
it.
Guys like me who bring a book to a bar and sit there reading.
Yeah, precisely.
I thought only girls did that.
Well, you know. Are you questioning my sexuality here with a mouthful of pizza?
So sensitive.
Yeah. No, the book is a good prop. You can keep a gun in it. And especially this one. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a monster.
It's a tome, man.
Oh, you're right. A tome. That's what we were into. And you've also documented Louis Prima's great career.
Yeah.
So you know a little bit about what you're talking about on this thing. Now, yeah, there's a huge connection here. And then Dino goes on to actually have country hits. And then be sort of Houston, which we'll hear in a second.
Yeah, my favorite.
It was a monster hit. And it did well in the country charts.
Yeah, it was good.
If you pick up Joel Whitburn's country music, history of the country music charts, Dean Martin has something like 12 country hits in a 7 or 8 year period or something like that, right?
All Things to All Men.
Mm-hmm. Folks at home, you're just going to have to not mind the food. You talk about Dino's trick. The key to his success is he sings to the men because the women like him anyway.
Right. And the men were paying the bills.
Back in those days.
You think that's really the key?
That's what he said it was.
Oh,
he said he tried to seduce the men, not the... I think he gave them the illusion of... What do they call it? Male bonding that these saps go for?
Man, sort of Donahue chain,
you know,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Male bonding. Oh, speaking of that, weren't you going to go on a Penthouse magazine story?
I did.
Well, tell us about that.
So you can eat them anyway.
Between bites.
I'll be with you in a second. Yeah, I went down to somewhere, Texas, somewhere about an hour and a half south of Dallas-Fort Worth, and where these guys get in touch with their... lost masculinity or masculine.
The men's movement?
Yes. This was a while back. And, yes, men's movement it's called. So you go off in the woods, beat on drums.
Drum.
And, I mean, I've never met such a bunch of ridiculous people in my life. I mean, it was almost
like that Bohemian Grove thing.
I didn't know there was a male equivalent of dumb feminism.
Mm-hmm.
This was it. I always thought men were stupider than women. It's definitely true.
The male equivalent of dumb feminism I always felt was football, but what do I know?
Mm-hmm. I like to bet on football.
Football's very Freudian.
Like
yeah. You got that big
good thing about
you
it.
Got that big round turd the guy passes through his legs. Mm-hmm. You know, very
what do you
Freudian.
Watch baseball.
What do I watch? I like boxing. I bet on boxing, but the boxing world is so corrupt. You can wait years for a good fight, so I've kind of given up on following boxing. I mean, you can follow these guys like Azuma Nelson and hope they can unify their title, but 7 years later they cannot unify their title because they won't, you know, kick back 75% of their salary to Don King.
Yeah.
You just got to give up.
There's
a threat
of prison for one thing or another.
I'm into this wrestling scandal. What do you think is going to happen in the wrestling scandal?
I didn't know there was one.
Oh, there's a huge, like...
Wait, somebody found out it wasn't real? I mean,
No. Well, there are allegations against Vince McMahon and the hierarchy of the WWA.
Of what?
WWF, of gay sex and steroid scandal is what's happening.
Right.
Going on,
I always thought that wrestling got real gay, like... Has his popularity grew, like with this heavy metal thing in the last how many years? Say 8, 9 years?
Well, the sort of the weightlifting, chest shaving thing is definitely.
Well, there's always been a sort of a.
Wrestlers and heavy metal guys go to the same hairstylist, right?
Definitely. Probably went to the same schools.
And show,
I think Fred Brolessi was right about McMahon, and he always called him a geek.
Yeah, no, definitely.
They're always patting each other's butt on the TV.
Bruno Sammartino comes from the same town as Dean, Steubenville.
Really?
Bruno Sammartino?
Yeah. Well, so Bruce says that.
Although he's no longer living.
I guess they had a fine school system in Steubenville. Some eloquent fellas.
Yeah, I got a letter from the principal of the school in Steubenville that was illiterate.
Wow.
Really?
You were getting all kinds of interesting mail on this one, huh?
No, this was when I was there.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention a letter from the guy who was doing the book on Wanda Jackson.
You like that, right?
That was a classic.
Explain what that one was about on the radio.
It was about, there would be DJs back in Texas in the old days, and they would be on the radio, and Wanda would kind of, to get her records played, she would position herself under the console.
Showing so a vocal could, so talent that did not come through in her recordings.
So you can see. Well, I think the Vibermeister must have blown us off because he's on vacation, which is fine. Let's just play some of this. We're going to go into,
Dean doing Hank. Is it?
Country Dean.
Let me find it. I got it queued up somewhere. Oh, there it is. This is Dean doing Hank.
Tex Martin.
And then we go into Louis Prima doing Hank, and then we go into one of Dean's more customized country hits.
Of this sounds more authentic than Hank's kid, you know?
Yeah.
So,
go for it.
Take these chains from my heart and set me free. You've grown cold and no longer care for me. All my faith in you is gone, but my heartaches linger on. Take these chains from my heart and set me free. Give my just a word of sympathy. Be as fair to my heart as you can be. Then if you no longer care for the love that's beaten there, take these chains from my heart and set me free.
Your heart is bad and blue, and now my heart is bending up on things you
Well, it's lonesome in this old town. Everybody puts me down. I'm a face without a name, just walking in the rain, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. I got holes in both of my shoes. Well, I'm a walking case of the blues. Saw a dollar yesterday, but the wind blew it away. Going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. I haven't eaten in about a week. I'm so hungry when I walk, I squeak. Nobody calls me friend. It's sad the shape I'm in. Going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. Going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. I got a girl with hell for me. Well, at least she said she'd be. I got a home and a big warm bed and a feather pillow for my head. Going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. Well, it's lonesome in this old town. Everybody puts me down. I'm a face without a name, just walking in the rain. Going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. Going back to Houston, Houston.
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
Well, there's sort of a country connection happening there. Do you know Houston, my favorite of all his country hits? And then we heard Louis Prima doing Cold, Cold Heart. And that was recorded New Year's Eve, 1963-64 at the Casbah Theater, Hotel Sahara, Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And then before that we heard Dino doing Take These Chains From My Heart. Now, you made an interesting point about the way that version of the Hank Williams song sounded in comparison to modern country music, and once again it seems Dino was kind of ahead of his time.
Yeah, I realized that what little country music I hear today that's contemporary sounds like a much more stylized Hollywood thing than that.
Mm-hmm. And now Dino, he's always tried to sort of keep abreast of the happenings in his own weird way. He even made a rock video.
Oh, he did. Yeah. And it was probably...
It's the greatest rock video ever made.
And anyone who has a chance to see it should see it. The song was Since I Met Your Baby, the old Ivory Joe Hunter song. Mm. It's one of the last records that Dean made. And Dean's son directed the thing. And it's just a beautiful video. I mean,
it's just long enough. And,
it's difficult to explain.
It captures the essence of Deendom with the girls and the pool and the drink.
And the whole idea of lip syncing and the whole idea of rock videos themselves.
Parodies rock videos perfectly, and it parodied rock videos in a time like 84, I guess it was, when they were just sort of starting to discover how incredibly boring they could make them.
Was that
a really fine
in the
piece
book
of work?
From that video?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, with the women lying around.
Yeah.
And
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable.
Now, how about Dean as Matt Helm? Now, there's an image I always really liked with Stella Stevens in there and the guns.
I'd say,
well, I was
basically the takeoff on James Bond, just completely immersed in sleaze.
Mm-hmm. And booze.
And low budget sleaze even.
Yeah.
They weren't getting too many takes out of Dean in those days, I imagine.
No, he had gone into the spurt acting method then, which was come out and do a few lines, go back in. Mm-hmm. Back out and do a few more. But then again, I mean, do movies deserve more? I don't know.
No.
Yeah, I've had it with long takes.
No. Now, what's the golf connection? Obviously, one of the few things in life Dean actually cares about, maybe to this day, who knows, is golf.
Well, golf, I think, is one of the few activities where you can be with other people, yet be totally alone. It demands a silence on the part of others if you wish it.
Can you make money on it?
Yeah, he gambled on it. He's cut that out too, though. I mean, you know, just
it's always the 19th hole at the end of the.
And what does Dean do nowadays?
Well, from what I understand, he sits in his blissful solitude, watches old cowboy pictures, the older the better, and goes out to eat at the same restaurant every Saturday night, and basically enjoys his distant view of the world.
You think he's really brain dead? You mentioned
no, I don't. I think he's less brain dead than Sinatra, who insists on getting up on stage at his age and
can't
making
even read
a
the
fool of himself.
Can't even read the words off a teleprompter.
I think Dean basically saw the world and most people for what they were, and seized this opportunity to enjoy life as he wishes.
Now they were going to do this Rat Pack reunion tour with Sammy Davis Jr. and Sinatra and Dean. Dean left after a day.
After a week, yes.
A week.
He made it
into
to
the
Chicago.
Tour. And there was a story that he was sick, and basically he wasn't sick. You tell
he
the
didn't
story
want to do it.
In the book, basically, you tell the story of why he quit. And
he thought it was a ridiculous idea. He felt no need or desire to get up on stage and sing anymore.
Not a terribly sentimental person.
Not at all. And got nothing out of it, and basically didn't enjoy it, and why should he be doing something he didn't enjoy?
When they can get Liza.
Yeah, they became the ultimate event or whatever it was. But it was basically, I think it was Sinatra's show, and that was basically Dean's swan song. I mean, that was at the end of the road for him.
Now, all these guys had to kiss Sinatra's ass, Sammy Davis Jr.
Well, I think Sammy,
Joey Bishop, obviously.
Joey Bishop, yeah.
Richard Conte.
Oh, yeah, they kiss everybody's ass, Joey Bishop. No, I don't think Richard Conte had.
No, Richard Conte. Now, there's a great actor whose name shows up in the book quite a few times.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown from The Big Combo for you.
He died too young. I think he was a great actor. A smart guy, too. Apparently a good... Angie Dickinson was very close with him. She had fond memories of him.
But what I meant to say, actually, before...
His father was
before
a barber in Jersey City.
...eating was, again, was that Dino never had to kiss Sinatra's ass. He could care less, right?
No, you know, not at all. He couldn't.
Which is a good
less.
Sign.
So I think it was more... I really believe it was a matter of Sinatra sucking up to Dean for these ridiculous reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you speak about, like, that manhood movement. I mean, there were Sinatra-type guys there. I mean, you know.
I'll bet. We're going to hear
light on their faces.
What was that? It was one of those great Roman authors said, he's a man among women and a woman among men.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear a little clip from the very first Dean Martin TV show, and then we're going to go into Valari. And then we'll figure it out. Either more Dean Martin, or maybe we'll go into some of the old trash that we usually play. But let's
thank you.
Here's some of this. Whoop.
There's no point in singing the whole song. You might not buy the record. If your picture looks a little out of focus, that's the way you look to me, too. Tell you that. Now, you know I'm getting tired already? No, don't laugh. I got a whole season to do an this NBC show, and they ain't taking any chances. Yep, I'm Dean Martin, and for the next hour, we'll be flying at an altitude of 32,000 feet. Now, since we're all going to be together for the next hour, you get your refreshments during the commercials, because there'll be no servers while I'm on. You take this off, because we ain't going to fly anymore. I should have learned how to take it off. Gentlemen usually fly. Now, I want you to know that this is going to be a family show. The kind of a show where a man could take his wife and kids his father and mother and sit around a bar and watch. Now, don't go away. You wait here. I got to kill a minute while some fella comes out here to tell you all about tonight's show. But I asked him to hurry. I'll be right back, okay?
Mr. Martin.
Yeah?
I'm your dresser.
Yeah?
And it goes anything. Anything at all that I can do for you. All you have to do is ask me.
Forget about that minute, folks. It'll be no problem. Go right ahead. I'll take all the time you need, Charlie.
Let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all this illusion behind. Just like birds of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find. Volare, oh, e cantare, oh, no wonder my happy heart sings, your love has given me wings. Penso che io sogno così non ritorni mai più. Mi dipinge con le mani e la faccia di blu. Poi d'improvviso tenido dal veretto rapito. E incominciavo a volare nel cielo infinito. Volare. Dipinto di blu, e chi dice di stare lassù? E volavo, volavo, venice un'alte del sole con coro più su, mentre molto pian piano spariva lontano laggiù. Una musica dolce suonare soltanto per me. Volare. My happy heart sings, your love has given me wings. Nel blu dipinto di blu, venite di stare lassù. Nel blu dipinto di blu.
I'd work for you, I'd slave for you, I'd be a beggar or a knave for you. If that isn't love, it'll have to do. Until a real thing comes along, I'd gladly move the earth for you, to prove my love, dear, and its worth for you. If that isn't love, it'll have to do. Until a real thing comes along, with all the words, dear, at my command, I just can't make you understand. I'll always love you, darling, come what may. My heart is yours, what more can I say? I'd sigh for you, oh, cry for you. I'd tear the stars down from the sky for you. If that isn't love, it'll have to do. Until a real thing comes along. words, dear, at my command. I just can't make you understand. I'll always love you, darling, come with me. My heart is yours, what more can I say? I'd sigh for you and I'd cry for you. I'd tear the stars down from the sky for you. If that ain't love, it'll have to do. Until the real thing comes along. Until the real thing comes along. Until the real thing comes along.
Why don't you just arrange your chairs and come up close? Because I just want to lay a story on you, that's all.
As the snow flies.
As the snow flies. On a cold and gray Chicago morning. Poor little baby's child was born in the ghetto. And his mama cries. Cause if there's one thing that she don't need is another hungry mouth to feed. Especially if you're living in a ghetto. People, don't you understand? This baby needs a helping hand. And he'll grow up. Yeah, he'll grow up to be an angry young man someday. Just take a look at you and me. Just turn our heads and then look the other way. We're good at looking at it the other way. Well, the world turns. And this same boy who's now a little boy, a little older, with a runny nose, plays in the street as the cold wind blows. Where else? The ghetto. And his hunger burns. And he starts to roam the streets at night because he has to learn how to steal and learn how to fight. I mean, if you're going to survive, dig, in the ghetto. Dig. Then one night, in desperation, this young cat says, I'm gonna break away. He buys a gun. Yeah, you know the rest. He steals a car. And he tries to run. But the man ain't gonna let it get too far. And then his mama cries. And as the crowd gathers round, an angry young man, I mean, who's laying face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. His mama stands by and watches her young man die. And on a cold and gray Chicago morn, another little baby child is born in the ghetto. And I'm hip. His mother's gonna cry too.
Georgia, Georgia,
the whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia on my mind, Georgia, oh Georgia. A song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me. Other eyes smile oh so tenderly. Still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. Georgia, oh Georgia. No peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, oh Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia on my mind.
Meanwhile, back in the States.
Yeah, meanwhile, back in the jungle room. Okay, so that was Dean Martin doing Georgia on My Mind, the Hoagy Carmichael classic. Before that, we heard Sammy Davis Jr. doing In the Ghetto, and then Dino doing Until the Real Thing Comes Along, Volare. And then we heard the intro at the very beginning of Dean's first TV show on NBC. We're sitting here with Nitro Nick Toshis, the author of Dino, Living High in the Dirty Business of Dreams. And this is WFMU East Orange. I'm the Hound. Il Bruce and Miss Sally are here. And Nick, so how does it all tie in, you know, this thing? You know, the Sammy doing In the Ghetto, Dean, you know, all these guys.
Sammy liked Elvis. I mean, the same song. They went through this socially conscious, sensitive phase. You'll find none of that sullying the reading matter in Dino, I'm happy to say.
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. And how about the TV show? I mean,
the TV show, as Bruce said, he came out his first night, his first few minutes, couldn't even pronounce the name of the call letters in the network. The show went on to become the most popular television show in history. He became the highest paid entertainer in history on account of it. The show was a great success for many years.
Long
then the forces of political correction came down on him, and he was probably one of the first victims of that ignoble persecution.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it was Norman Lear and not Dino that was
right.
The voice of TV. The soul of the TV
set. I mean,
set.
Dean had basically, many years before, brought rock and roll television. He had the Traineers on before Elvis, 1954, doing Rockin' Is Our Business.
Mm-hmm. Nobody seems to have that on video. It's Dean and Jerry and the Traineers all singing Rockin' Is Our Business.
That's got to be something.
I'll bet. So, basically, we got this whole This is the connection, folks. The Elvis-Dino connection is that Dino was the cool guy that everybody emulated from Elvis to Sinatra all the way down. 600 pages worth of it here.
A book that begins in Italy and ends, where would you say?
It ends in ends in Hollywood, basically. Yeah.
There you go.
It begins.
Better girls.
It begins in a fog and ends in a daze. Let's put it that way. Thanks for Nick Toshes, ladies and gentlemen. Go out and buy the book.
You can
go over
buy two of them. What the hell?
You can go, yeah, if you're really strong.
Yeah.
If you have a shopping cart with you. And if you can go over to See Here and buy the Dino Elvis study. Mm-hmm. And
which I'm going to do.
Now, how was the book signing, by the way, Nick?
It was what you'd expect at See Here. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah, it was great seeing Quine get drunk on three Genesee Cream Ales.
He wasn't drunk, was he?
Oh, yeah, three beers will definitely do it for Quine. He was really disturbed. There was a big piece on him in the new issue of Cream in which they call him short and pudgy.
Wait. I'd be disturbed if there just was a piece on me in the new Cream. I mean, the huge, large-size one?
The one that looks like
interview?
Spin, yeah.
That actually wasn't nice. It was
somebody
there did
buy
two copies.
For a pen, though.
I said, autograph, sign them both to Jim.
Yeah. Oh, it's that guy with the split personalities that's been writing you from Pennsylvania.
It's the Jim Brothers.
Uh-huh.
So
no, Jim. Yes, Jim. No, Jim.
And since you folks out there have been so great about this, and you know, next week we have an extra special treat for you. Billy Miller from Kix Magazine and Norton Records is going to be our guest speaker. He'll be out here.
Yep.
And we're gonna do the audio portion of Kix Magazine. We're gonna run through it, and Billy has all kinds of
the cassette great
that new
probably
stuff.
Was left out of your copy.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of stuff you're never gonna hear anywhere
5
else.
5 years in the making.
And also some upcoming Norton previews of upcoming Norton releases.
So
there'll be
time to go to the kitchen.
Yeah. So next week we'll be here with Billy Miller. And right now, we're gonna do a little bit of our old trash. But let's do the blues hangover, and then we'll come back and we'll try to do some morons in the news, and we'll try to pretend like we're having a normal day. How's that, folks? Blues hangover time.
I thought you liked snappy music.
come, my baby, come, my love, unlock that door. The skies above are a-leaking on your bed. Papa's in the rain, getting nowhere, getting nowhere, getting nowhere. And if I die, you will regret. Papa has no place to go. You got a nice warm room and so share with Papa, don't forget. Papa's in the rain, getting nowhere. I've been told, hear me cough, catching cold. Ain't no telling what I'll get. Papa's in the rain, getting all wet, getting all wet, getting all wet. And if I die, you will regret. Papa's got no coat at all. You got a raincoat in your hall. Share it with Papa, and don't forget. Papa's in the rain, getting all wet. Was too small, you nappy head, you knew it all. It lets me stand, but I can't stand. Papa's in the rain, getting all wet, getting all wet, getting all wet. And if I die, you will regret. Papa must eat or he will die. You got pork chop, you got pie. Share it with Papa, and don't forget. Papa's in the rain, getting all wet. Getting all wet, and if I die, you will regret. Graveyard such a lonely place. Don't want dirt thrown in my face. Pity old Papa, don't forget. Papa's in the rain, getting all wet.
And right now, incidentally, our sponsors are Jew, Mr. Goldie. Mr. Goldie has put out a great thing, the King Kong hair straightener. A lot of you cats, you know, have the frightening wigs. So this puts it down, man. I mean, oh, so much. That's how you get the white chicks.
I got giant shoes and nail manicure. A diamond ring, man, I got everything. So don't you touch my hair. Don't you touch my hair. Don't you touch my head, cause I just got a red brush in. Her hair shined and bright. How would you like for you to shine tonight? You can knock me down, drag me day and night, but if you touch this hair, Jack, you gotta fight. So don't you touch my hair. Don't you touch my hair. Don't you touch my hair, cause I just got a red brush hair. We'll be right back. walking down a mile. If you test his head, you'll get a left and right. Up on side your head. Up on side your head. I go up side your head, cause you two of my friend crosses.
And next week will be not Brotherhood Week, but Anti-White Week. So think about it, friends. All my white friends, my chalk people, I call them, and my blackies. So remember, keep it cool, you know, and keep it down.
I hear you knocking. I hear you calling. I hear you every time you say my name. But it's no use, baby. You're calling and calling, babe. No use of crying. You did the lying. You tried to cheat, baby. You're to blame. But it's no use, baby. You're crying and calling, babe.
Coming back bigger than ever this year, and that's what I need right now, a good sock blues number.
Let's do the wiggle, the waggle, the woggle, woo. Simple, silly, crazy too. Just starting, slipping, sliding through. If I can, you can do it too. Just give a wiggle of your waggle, a woggle of your woo. That's a wiggle waggle, woggle woo. I got a brand new dance that should give you a thrill. It's easy to do because most standing still. You can help it, you can even be fat. Grab yourself a cheek and hold it tight like that. So gather around you fellas if you want to be in style. Dance off in the corner, really wiggle a while. Let's do the wiggle, waggle, wobble, woo. Simple, silly, crazy too. Just starting, slipping, sliding through. If I can, you can do it too. Just give a wiggle of your waggle, a woggle of your woo. A wiggle, waggle, woggle, woo. Yourself a partner, now swing her on the floor. Give her one good wiggle, she'll be coming back for more. Clap your hands in rhythm, pat your feet in time. But don't forget to wiggle as you shuffle down the line. Throw in a little Charleston, a little boogie too. Try a bit of anything, I'll leave it up to you. Let's do the wiggle, the waggle, the woggle, woo. Simple, silly, crazy too. Starting, slipping, sliding through. If I can, you can do it too. To give away. love you, waggle. Waggle, love you, woo. That's a wiggle, waggle, waggle, woo.
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
Oh, yeah. Things are getting, We're working our way through it, kids. That was Stick McGee, Wiggle Waggle Woggle Woo Woo Woo. Another story that Nick Tosh just wrote, right? The Stick McGee story.
Yeah.
While you're tuning up for Dino.
Stick McGee and his buddies.
We heard Lazy Lester, I Hear You Knocking. That was a request item. J.B. Lenoir did Don't Touch My Head, another request item. Leroy Carr and Scrapper Blackwell, Getting All Wet. And we open up with Lonesome Sundown, Lonesome Whistler. Don't forget, next week we have Billy Miller on the show. Oh, you know, we got a couple of news stories we can do.
Cavalcade of Stars.
Our cavalcade. Where did I put them? Where's the judge biting the guy's head?
In my lap.
Oh, that's the... You want to do that?
No, why don't you?
Okay. Yeah. I got one in the meantime. Oh. No, I'm going to do some of the music news desk. We're talking about singers shouldn't talk. You know, musicians should not be allowed to expound on how important they feel they are. Peter Townsend, former guitarist for The Who, has adopted the British rock and roll band's 1969 album for the stage. It seems he wants to be recognized as a real... I want them to appreciate Tommy as a real drama. It is popular, it is full of recognizable relationships and struggles, not only because it was an early rock opera or part of Woodstock, or... Oh, God, this is...
Yeah, and you wanted me to do it.
Yeah, you're more eloquent than I am, Bruce.
Uh-huh.
Man waiting sentencing for assaulting...
Well, he wished he'd be dead when he was...
I don't know.
Yeah. Hope I die before I get old.
There it is.
What happened?
Yeah, hope I die before
guy
I
lies.
Get out of the closet. I mean,
I think that's what... You should have got...
Turned into Cedric Hardwick instead.
He is really pathetic, huh?
Yeah. Shoot the guy.
Speaking of rock rumors, two good rock rumors that we cannot substantiate, but anybody who would like to substantiate them can call here. One, we heard Jeff Beck is totally deaf and he can't play guitar anymore. Mm-hmm. So what? Who cares? And we heard Link Wray is may have passed on this week.
Possibly by his own hand.
Yeah, we don't know if that's true or not.
Late breaking news from Copenhagen. Anybody has like
the phones are ringing off the hook.
Oh my goodness.
A man awaiting sentencing for assault rushed a judge in a courtroom in Pittsburgh Friday and bit him on the forehead. The wound needed 14 stitches.
Jeepers.
DeWitt Smith, 44, ran from a table towards the door. Then, at Common Pleas, Judge Walter Little
hung a left.
Smith had pleaded guilty to assaulting a woman in 1990. Violation of his parole for robbery conviction sentencing was put off after the biting, and Little said he would leave the additional charges up to the police.
You gotta wonder about that. I mean, not only is a human bite just about the most septic thing you're gonna be confronted with, short of like a Komodo dragon, but how do you actually take a piece out of somebody's forehead?
Boy, yeah, you
know. I mean, cause it's tight up there, man.
This guy must have either had a really soft head, or a guy had really strong teeth.
Start at the eyebrow and move up, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's play a few more records, and we got another request item to get out of the way here. Ricky Jones, Hate to Say Goodbye.
I hate to say goodbye to my love. Hate to say goodbye to my love, because she's the one I'm thinking of. Hate to say goodbye to my love. I hate to leave my missile love. Hate to say goodbye to my love. Hate to say goodbye to my girl. Hate to say goodbye to my love. But it must be, I have to leave, because I got mistreated me. Hate to say goodbye to my love. Hate to say goodbye to that girl.
Here's one I got a lot of requests for, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay.
Well, you just might have some jumbo money.
I believe I'll do y'all's favorite song. Goes like this here.
Now what do you say?
The blood of love.
it time for a riot, girls? Riot!
Back in his day.
Right, it's the Hound, WFMU East Orange.
And we're also lucky the mics weren't open for that night.
Jim Foley, Goodbye Train. That's my new favorite tune. T. Valentine, the man who gave us Hello Lucille, Are You a Lesbian? Betty Sue. He actually remade Betty Sue on the flip side of Hello Lucille. That's the 50s version, the better version. We heard Roy Hall, Flood of Love, the man who had a whole lot of shaking going on, among other things. Fabulous Pearls did Jungle Bunny by request. Then we opened up with Ricky Jones, Hate to Say Goodbye. Lee Allen production, 1958, and the Herald label, great record. Yeah, what were we talking about?
No. That trick never works.
So what are you working on?
Animal Kingdom.
As you were saying.
So tell me now. What is next for Nick Toshes?
A novel called Trinities.
A novel. Mm-hmm. And you're
Save your pen.
You're hard at work at that right now.
Not this minute, but yes, first 100 pages are done.
And your last novel did pretty well.
Yeah, it did.
Cut Numbers. It's still in print if anybody out there hasn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to go out and buy one. No word about the film Cut Numbers yet, huh?
No, I think that went down the drain somewhere between Pittsburgh and Los Angeles.
Not a lot of drain space.
Yeah, could have ended up in Steubenville.
Mm.
Well, there's always the Doc Sawsik story.
Well, Pete Townsend would know what to say at this point.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about Tommy and social significance.
What do you got on that?
These are ideas I'd prefer to keep to myself.
Okay. Hope I die before I come out of the closet.
How old is he now, this guy? Man?
I don't know. The mean old queen.
Yeah, right.
Probably at least 50, right?
Is that just like sort of some sort of fundamental law of England that if you make enough money and you're famous enough, you just automatically have to come out of the closet when you pass about 40?
That's it. That's the law.
Yeah.
Yep. Make a million, Come out of the closet.
Come lurching out there.
English. I think it's just inbred into those people.
There it is.
Their class system is so weird anyway. I mean,
or lack thereof.
Yeah. It's, they're just bound to.
Hmm.
Anyway, what do you want to do? Play some more records or shall we talk?
I'd like to hear T. Valentine.
We're going to close the show with more T. Valentine.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, that's the subject of your next nonfiction book, the T. Valentine story.
Story, yeah.
Evidently some German filmmaker. Does anybody out there know about this? Some German filmmaker in the early 70s was in Chicago. He heard Hello, Lucille on the radio. He found T. Valentine and made a film about him.
Really?
I imagine it might have been Herzog or somebody, some sub-Herzog maniac with a camera, heavily, you know, in a heavily funded government film.
If for even a moment you can believe him, Mike Myers claims that he worked a job with T. Valentine for a little while in Chicago.
What kind of job was that?
Some truck job or something like that.
Well, I don't know. You know what? I don't believe that one.
Okay.
But
it's your prerogative.
It's a good story.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, let's hear from Paul Gayton, Paul's Nightmare.
Comes on like Godzilla.
Well, then you
walk,
slip, then you
walk,
slop, then you
walk,
slip, slop, slip, slop, slop. Oh, baby, come on, let's do the slop. It's a jungle beat, baby, and the rhythm really rocks. Rock and roll.
slip, but then you slop, but then you slip, slop, I slip, slop, slop, oh baby, now you're doing the slop. It's a jungle beat, baby, and the rhythm really rocks. Flow, man, flow. Slop, but then you slip, slop, slip, slop, slop. Oh, baby, give it all you got. It's a jungle beat, baby, and it really rocks.
We will not be held back in our efforts by any kind of law or moral principle.
Staring at a circle only half an inch wide. Staring as if your life depends upon it. And it does. Because that circle is the muzzle of a gun pointed straight at your head.
Break of day.
and now she's got me 6 feet under the ground.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
First you throw your hands up high, then you do the backwards cry. You buckle both knees, then you turn to the right, start rocking. Grab your girl in a knitting coop, step back a step or two. You buckle both knees, then you turn to the right, start rocking. When you're not rocking, any old step will do. But when you start rocking, jack, let me tell you the step to do. First you throw your hands up high, then you do the backwards cry. You buckle both knees, then you turn to the right, now rock it. When you start rocking, jack, let me tell you the step to do. First you throw your hands up high, then you do the backwards grind. You buckle both knees, then you turn to the right, start rocking.
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
Wow. We finally did it, folks. There's smoke coming from our echo player.
Still coming.
And it's still making the echo. You know what? Just let the station blow up.
Okay.
Just let it go. Let it catch fire. As long as it's not near my records. Anyway, that was Doc Sausage. Real name, Lucius Tyson. Sausage Rock. And that was somebody that Nick touched upon in his Unsung Heroes of Rock and Roll, as he did Amos Milburn, who we heard singing Nickel Plated Baby before that. We heard Calvin Bowes, a great Louis Jordan imitator, with Sophronia B. Little Joe and his Thrillers with Do the Slop.
Trouble in Paradise.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Teaching the Echo Machine how to smoke again?
Yeah. Paul Gayton, Paul's Nightmare, opened it up. And so it finally bit it, huh? That thing worked too well for too many weeks.
For too short.
Something like 3 or 4 weeks in a row. I knew something was bound to go wrong. Mm-hmm. Anyway, don't forget, folks, next week we have Billy Miller here on the Hound Show, and we're going to do the audio portion of Kix Magazine. And don't forget, of course, let's see, what else we got going on here?
I give up.
Oh, Bruce, you got any gigs coming up? Anything we're supposed to be plugging? I feel like I'm supposed to be telling people something.
Don't
I don't know what it
Democratic
is.
Democratic Convention?
Yeah. How about these Democratic candidates?
Yeah, play something for these saps.
What am I going to play for them? I got,
New Southern.
Anchorman Blues. Like they look like dropouts from Anchorman School.
It's a yokel convention. I mean, a hick convention.
Yeah, you mean... Oh, that little button on the left that says on and off. Man, the echo's on fire, folks. Really sorry about this. Hey, you guys want to hear the best part of the Elvis, this $70 Elvis box that I bought?
Yeah.
Play it for you right now. So, you know, folks, get your tape players out. You know, I don't want you all having to spend $70 when you can get it for free.
Wait,
on
my
cassette.
Tape heads.
What a guy.
That I was too hard for you.
You baby, well, I knew I couldn't win. But I just kept on trying, 'cause trying is no sin. What a fool that I was to fall for you. Well, what a fool I was to think that you could love me. You baby, well, I knew I couldn't win, but I just kept on trying, 'cause trying is no sin. What a fool that I was to fall for you. Well, what a fool I was
to think that you would love me too.
Yeah. Yep, there it is. That's the best part of the whole thing, is that, that version of the Clovis Fool, Fool, Fool. And there's also, actually, there's a really great version of Shake, Rattle, and Roll from the same time as that on this Elvis box. Anyway, Ilbruch.
Yes.
Thank you, just for being you.
You old nub-fingered fool.
Thanks. Would you like to, never mind. Miss Sally, thank you very much. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Any parting shots?
Thank you, Hound and Nick.
You're welcome.
Bruce.
And, of course, thank you, our special guest, Nitro Nick Toshes. I hope your book sells a trillion. It certainly deserves to.
Always my pleasure. Always my pleasure.
You're always welcome here on the Hound Show.
Always my pleasure.
And Wild Girls up next. We'll be back next week if the good Lord's will and the crick don't rise with Billy Miller in tow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's Nick's request item at WFMU East Orange. Oh, I queued up the wrong side. Hold on, I gotta re-cue it. Hold on, folks.
Let's do it on the air.
Yeah, live re-cue.
I'm really enjoying the squeal of feedback, too.
The
where's
one,
that coming from?
The only T. Valentine.
Hello, Lucille. Are you a lesbian? Do you like to go to bed with women? I'm gonna call Lucille right now. Ask her. Cause when I try to kiss her, she says she got a cold. When I wanna make love, she got female trouble. That other thing that women have every month. She always wear pants, long pants. I never seen her in a dress, a skirt. When we go out, it's like two men out together. She wears her hair cut short like mine. She don't have any tits. She don't wear makeup with high heels. And they're laughing and whispering out. Why do he take her out? She like women just like he do. Now I notice stares at. I just take young women's clothes off with her eyes. Let's see. That number is 268-0777. Girl, well, left for young for 2 months? Damn. I don't know if she's a man or woman. She must be a... Hello, Phil. Are you a lesbian? Do you like to go to bed with women? You are? You do? You what? You got a date with my sister. Why you lesbian? You damn freak. You. She hung up on me. I hate all lesbians. I hate all lesbians. I want a woman, all woman, and from now on, when I take a woman out, waste time, I'm gonna find out if she a woman, and we men know how that's done. I don't want to see or hear a lesbian, 'cause my stuff is a